order the end of this piece, again, just to make it more understandable, more coherent. Remember we spoke about last time, 2 days ago, that the Ikar Avodah is to try to recover that lost stature of man, and that ironically this is an intellectual process to understand the day and the depths of the day and what type of expectations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has of human beings. Now you would think that if it's intellectual, then it's very, very philosophical, thinking about metaphysics, the creation of our universe, history, the cosmos, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it isn't. The day, intellectually, you think about chesed. Remember in Ezra, it's in Nehemiah Paraches, gathers the entire Jewish people after they've returned from Babel, and he tells them not to cry, but to feel the day's pride and celebration. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But one of the expressions is, and send Mishloach Manos to one another. Remember, this is Ezra gathering the Jewish people a few years after Purim. Purim happens at the tail end of Galus Babel. So they just performed Mishloach Manos as part of the Purim celebration. So Ezra says, recreate that Mishloach Manos, because it's the day of Chesed. Why is Rosh Hashanah the day of Chesed? Because it's the day in which the world was created. Hashem wanted to create the world based on din, wanted to create the world based on causality, consequence, precision, accuracy. You sin, you fail, you're destroyed, you die. Hashem said, I can't. The world isn't sustainable. Human beings are frail. Human beings are flawed. So Hashem had to switch the system from a system of din to a system of rachamim. And we recreate that experience every year by blowing the shofar. Chazal tells us when we blow the shofar, we convert Hashem's midas hadin on the day of judgment into rachamim. Allah Elokim b'trua, Hashem b'kol shofar. Pasuk starts with Elokim, it concludes with the word Hashem, and the shofar is what accomplishes that transition. So by converting the day from din to rachamim through the kiyah shofar, that Hashem's judgment isn't din barachamim, we're recreating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original switch from rachamim to chesed, a world of chesed. And that happened on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is when the world was created. So by appreciating chesed, and by dispensing chesed, we're essentially recreating what happened on Rosh Hashanah 5,777 years ago. So if you take a look at paragraph number 2, on page 66, page Samach Vav. Okay, cool, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. Shlomo Melech, it's on the second page. Lama ze mechir biyad ksil. It's like giving money to a silly person. Liknos chachma velev ayin. All he wants is wisdom, and he has no heart. So what does the Gemara say? Oy lehem lesonim shel tamidei chachamim. Page Samach Vav, line 2, paragraph 2. It's a lament for tamidei chachamim that they learn Torah, she'oskim batara, ve'ein b'hem yirat shamayim. What does it mean, someone that learns Torah without yirat shamayim? So what he interprets it as, line number 4, mechivan she'ein lo leiv, if you look carefully, the lashon of the pasuk is liknos chachma v'leiv ayin. It doesn't say liknos chachma v'yirat shamayim ayin, as Shlomo Melech so often says, let's say in Koheles. Koheles is about the interface between life and yirat shamayim. Mishlei is more focused not on yirat shamayim, but on midas and chesed. Liknos chachma v'leiv ayin. So he says, line number 4, Mechivan she'ein lo leiv, ein bo midos tovos. We're talking here about someone that studies Torah, not without Yirat Shamayim in the classic sense, but without midos tovos, without chesed, without a leiv. Ein bo gam Yirat Shamayim. Without midos tovos, you don't have Yirat Shamayim. Because the Gemara says, there's an offset between the Pasuk and the Gemara. The Gemara talks about liknos, the Pasuk talks about liknos chachma v'leiv ayin, without a leiv. The Gemara talks about the lament of Tamid Chachamim study Torah without Yirat Shamayim. That's disparate. That's discrepant. So what the altar says is, no, without Midos Tavos, you don't have Yirat Shamayim. So the simple reading of the Pasuk, Levayim, the Gemara translates into Yirat Shamayim. And then he talks about two traits to focus on in Rosh Hashanah. One is, in the Chol Ma'aminim, we talk about Hashem is Hatov Umeitiv L'Ra'im V'Latovim. Rosh Baruch Hu's chesed extends not just to those who deserve it, to those who don't, L'Ra'im V'Latovim. So can you be a Baal Chesed on Rosh Hashanah? Both for people who are tzaddikim and for people who are rishayim, for people that deserve and people that don't, and mimic Hashem's hatov v'ametiv l'ra'im v'latovim. And the second issue, which we talked about, is in the middle of paragraph 3. Can you be v'lo od elishalenu, three lines from the bottom, liros b'chal adam raket atzad hatov? Can you look at people favorably and judge them not by their flaws, but by their positive commandments? I spoke about this in my shiur. That's one of the explanations of Rav Chesed. Hashem looks at our positive qualities, not at our negative qualities. So to summarize, this is a day not just of intellectual pondering up to the meaning of life and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but one core feature of the day, chesed. Now we'll go back to page Samachay. And for us, chesed, we model ourselves after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at page Samachay, the first page on the bottom. Rachum Mechanon, Erech Hapayim, Rav Chesed, Netzu Chesed Lelafim, Netzu Yabun Rafesha V'chata'a, the 13 Midos, Ha'adam Nivra B'Tzelem, if we're really built in the image of Hashem, last line, Alav L'Hidamos L'Kono B'chol Midosav, we should be similar to Hashem with all of our Midos, Mahu Rachum, Ma'afata Rachum, Mahu Chanun, Afata Chanun. For a Jew, the pursuit of ethics and morality is to be like Hashem. And then he says an amazing comment, which he elaborates in other areas, since we're not going to study that much Slobodka Musar after Elul, it's important to explain it here. Look at line number 2, it's an amazing line. Ein, page Samachvav, Ein dargaso ha-sichlis ba lidei shlei musa ela bishtal musa b'midos uvihistal musa l'kono. You can only fully understand ethics and morality if you actually perform ethics and morality. If you don't perform it experientially, it's not that you understand it, but you're just an immoral person. You don't understand it. The performance of midos helps you understand the midos better. You say, I'll be a philosopher, I'll write books, I'll ponder morality and ethics, I'll be Aristotle. If you don't perform ethics, then you don't understand. It's not that you understand Hashem's morality, because Hashem performs, Hashem delivers. So to understand ethics for Jews, to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's core source of chesed, then you have to perform an experience. So experience completes intellect. So the pursuit is to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ethics, and part of understanding is by performing moral deeds and chesed. Of course, that's not the only goal to understand Hashem, that's the goal in Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, when you perform chesed, it's a very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Almost, I don't want to say the word selfish, but it's a self-reflexive form of chesed. Why should you do chesed? To understand Hashem better, and to understand the chesed. That shouldn't be the primary reason you do chesed. The primary reason you do chesed is to help someone suffer, to leave their distress. But this expands the parameters of chesed. Even if the person doesn't deserve your chesed, even if the person won't, you still have a personal responsibility to understand Hashem, to be like Hashem, therefore to perform chesed, to complete your understanding and comprehension of chesed. Okay, so that, in a nutshell, is our responsibility on Rosh Hashanah. To recover the lost stature of man, that's an intellectual endeavor to understand the depth of the day, and to understand where we've fallen but how we can recover. How should you do that? By understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moral model, absorbing it, assimilating it, quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, people that acquire Chachma v'lev ayin, they don't have a heart. The Gemara interprets this as a lack of Yerushalayim, so obviously your Torah is deficient. And he quotes, or he suggests, two different areas to work on Rosh Hashanah. One is to extend your chesed to everyone, and one is to look at people favorably. And in the end, he talks about the ability to feel joy, even though it's a day of solemnity and gravitas. He quotes a Gemara in Brachos, where Abaye was learning with Rabba, and he saw that Rabba's making a lot of jokes. So Abaye said, how can you make jokes? You're learning Torah. So Rabba says, I'm wearing tefillin. Another story, where Yirmi was learning in front of Zera, and so Zera is making a lot of jokes. Yirmi said, I can make jokes, you're learning Torah. So Zera said, I'm wearing tefillin. It shows that when you're involved in a mitzvah, humor and joy is not contradictory to the solemnity. If anything, it expresses how important you see that you want to express your engagement emotionally with every part of your personality. And jokes is humor and comedy is part of your personality. So if you wouldn't be wearing tefillin, it would be disrespectful and irreverent to the Torah. Since you're wearing tefillin and you're completely experientially wrapped in Torah, you're not just studying Torah with your intellect, but you're wrapping your entire body in Torah, you're so immersed, then joking is not counterindicated or discrepant with the moment, it's perfectly consistent. So the person immerses totally in Rosh Hashanah, doesn't mean you make Rosh Hashanah jokes, if I have a couple good Rosh Hashanah jokes. But then it doesn't mean you make Rosh Hashanah jokes, it means you let it feel that joy and celebration, but it's not contradictory to solemnity. Because it's just another part of your body that's completely immersed. Another part of your identity that's immersed in the experience. It's a very interesting Gemara in Brachos, of Lamed Amud Beis, of two Amoraim, who made jokes when they were wearing tefillin, and then didn't see it as antithetical to the moment of studying time. Okay?